today as we come to the table.
We're not doing something against the Word of God. We're saying, God, I'm going to turn it over to you. You deal with them. I'm going to let it go so that my heart is free. And Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so the balance of the two that are there. So I want to make sure you understand, when you're letting someone go in forgiveness like that, even if they don't repent, make sure that you guard your heart. I think that if we had totally righteous minds and bodies and we didn't have a sin nature, we could do that. We could say, okay, they didn't repent. I'm not going to forgive them, because God's not going to forgive anybody that doesn't repent. But God can do it and keep his heart soft toward them. The danger for us is being able to do that and keep our heart soft toward them.
Have you ever planned something to perfection only to watch it crumble right in front of you? Have there ever been plans in your life that just don't quite pan out? In today's message, Pastor Mark explains that you need to follow God's vision for your life and not your own. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. It's easy to think that you have it all figured out, but plans don't always work out. Putting your trust in God is the only way to find real purpose in your life. Don't limit yourself and let God show you the great plans that He has for you. If you want to experience your fullest potential, let God take you there. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bible, open them up to Matthew chapter 18. As we finish the last part of Matthew today, we're going to be looking specifically at verses 23 through 35, through the very end, that is. But I'm going to start in verse 21 to give a running go, because it really needs to be there for where we ended last week. And as you're finding your way there, I'm going to read it to you. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' And Jesus said, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. And then his master, after he'd called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I have had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you, from his heart." And what it showed me is that we as the body of Christ have many questions about how forgiveness works. And I don't think it's because we don't want to forgive. I think we're trying to deal with it. Right now, some of you are sitting here going, I've got something that I'm having trouble dealing with. I've got a person that I don't know that I can forgive. I've got bitterness that is so deep, I don't know that it can be dealt with. God is going to set some people free today. I believe that. I can sense when God's Spirit is moving in greater ways than at other times. And again, a pastor can say that and it sounds so spiritual. I'm not trying to sound that way. And I'm going to give you a greater understanding of forgiveness and how forgiveness works, how we give it, how we receive it, how it all works together, so that you can now be finally free from all this and deal with whatever issue you need to deal with. Now again, remember we saw last week that Jacob, it took him all night at the Ford Jabbok for God to finally break him and him to finally deal with the issue that he was wrestling with God and his brother Esau. It was all night prayer. And so again, maybe this is the reason God carried this on into another week rather than allowing me to get to it last week. All we had were 2 hours, really 1 hour. And again, if you look at each service, we had 1 hour at the Ford Calvary last week. So now we have another hour at the Ford Calvary for God to break us and God to work in our hearts and God to set us free. And I know God's going to do that. Now, when it comes to forgiveness or unforgiveness, either of these issues, we can almost always, especially with unforgiveness, we can always justify ourselves by thinking about how the person did us wrong and they don't deserve to be forgiven. And we can easily do that. We're in the right, they're in the wrong, they don't need to be forgiven or whatever. But then when we go to them and they grant forgiveness, then now we have to deal with the fact that we have to also deal with the fact we've got to forgive them. Now think about it. We go to them thinking, yeah, they need to make this right. I'm going to confront them. And I'm not saying that's everybody's heart when they go to a brother. Hopefully your heart is, look, I just want to get restored. And I know that most of you, that is your heart. And that's the true heart of a believer and the heart of a brother and sister in the Lord. But there's those times where you think, yeah, they need to get this right. So I'm going to go confront them and tell them how they've done me wrong. And maybe your heart is wrong even in your approach to be restored. So you go and you talk to your brother. Hey, this happened, et cetera, et cetera. And then all of a sudden they go, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that. I didn't know I'd done that to you. I didn't realize what I'd said or how I said it or what I did. Will you please forgive me? Uh-oh. Guess what just happened? Now they've asked forgiveness. It's gone from your court back to theirs, and they're free, and now you're the one saying, now I've got to forgive this guy. And you're struggling in your heart to forgive them because they've asked forgiveness, and sometimes it's easier to sit there and stew in the bitterness. No. And he doesn't want anybody leaving here without those chains broken. He doesn't want anybody carrying it one more day. You've suffered long enough. And we're going to talk about why you've suffered if you're in a prison of unforgiveness, because it is a prison. And the Lord's going to use that as an example to show how he works in his spirit, in the heart of a believer, to imprison us to our situation until we finally break and say, I've got to be out of here. I've got to be free. And some of us take longer than others to reach. And that's just different personalities. But the Lord knows there are two sides to restoration. It's also dealing with the offended. That is, we have to make sure that our heart is right when they ask forgiveness, and then we have to forgive them. So we have to deal with any anger and any remaining bitterness that might be there. Maybe we really don't want to forgive them. We just want to just kind of show them they were wrong, right? And now all of a sudden, no, now we've got to forgive them. Maybe you're in that place. Maybe you're holding on to bitterness and someone has asked forgiveness. Maybe you're holding on to bitterness and someone hasn't asked forgiveness. But listen, you can leave here free either way today. And we're going to explain how that's going to happen. The Lord's going to lay that out for us and really give us the conviction I think we need to be able to do that. Now, let me address a couple of other things because some issues came up. A lot of great questions this week. I didn't realize that last week was going to stir so much emotion. I knew that it would stir emotion. And nobody was mad at me or anything like that. It was really just honest questions. What do I do in this situation? For example, one person came up, well, I've asked forgiveness and they won't forgive me. What do I do? Look, there's nothing else you can do. Once you've asked someone forgiveness, if they don't extend forgiveness, it's now in their court. You have to let it go and let God deal with them. The hard part of that is sometimes you don't feel settled in your own heart, but you've just got to let it go and let God deal with it. So you can't do anything about that. And so don't do any more than you can do, but you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do. Now, there's also another topic that came up. And again, these are things that aren't even in my notes. They're things that from you guys, either from the services and talking to you and things that I know there's questions about. And that is, well, what about, okay, because I'm going to encourage you today, you need to forgive. And we're going to see the Lord give an example that if we don't forgive, we're going to be in a prison of unforgiveness, which will unfold as we get into the passage. But what about where it says in Luke, if you go to your brother and your brother, you know, repents, then forgive your brother. Now, he doesn't go into details about what if he doesn't repent or what this or whatever. But because of that, a lot of people grab onto that verse and they say, well, you know what? The Bible says if he repents, well, he hadn't repented, therefore I don't have to forgive him. Now, there can be a theological argument made for that. Matter of fact, you can read different commentaries, listen to different pastors, and they'll say, that's right, you don't need to forgive them. As a matter of fact, probably for the first 20-some years of my ministry, I would have said the same thing. But as time has gone by, and as I've meditated on this, and I've watched the results of people's hearts in the body of Christ, there's another thing that comes to mind, and that's when Jesus was hanging on the cross. Remember, you have to look at all the Bible as a whole. You can't take any one verse. But when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, did they repent? Did they ask forgiveness? No. And yet he said, Father, forgive them. Now, Does that mean the Father is going to forgive them and they're going to go to heaven? No, it doesn't mean that. What it means is, Lord, leave the door open. If they come to me and if they get their heart right, we know that from the all-encompassing scripture. God is not saying somebody's forgiven if they live in sin and don't repent. What he's saying is, leave the door open for repentance. Father, don't hold this against them. It reminds me of Stephen when he was being stoned to death and he said, Father, don't let this be to their account or whatever. It's the same kind of idea. So how do we deal with that? Okay, if you want to make the theological argument and stand there, and you can, and I won't fight with you about I don't need to forgive them because they hadn't repented, you can do that. Here's the danger. Don't forget, number one, that Jesus said forgive them even when they didn't repent. So look at the balance here that we're seeing in the fullness of scripture. But number two, recognize this. What that does is that sets up the Christian's heart for righteous hardness. Righteous hardness of heart. Because I don't have to forgive them. They didn't repent. I'm not going to forgive them. Therefore, I'm righteous in hardening my heart toward my brother and my sister. Do you think God wants you to have a hard heart? I don't think so. And so over the years, I have changed in my viewpoint to say, you know what? Yes, I do believe that's what the Lord said. Quite obviously, I'm not denying the words of the Lord. And I do believe that if someone doesn't eventually repent, God will hold them accountable for that. There's going to be judgment day. We're all going to give account to the Lord and stand before him, as we'll see in just a moment. But the reality is, I'll turn that over to God. Here's what's happening. We're not denying the word of God. We're not doing something against the word of God. We're saying, God, I'm going to turn it over to you. You deal with them. I'm going to let it go so that my heart is free. And Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so the balance of the two that are there. So I want to make sure you understand, when you're letting someone go in forgiveness like that, even if they don't repent, make sure that you guard your heart. I think that if we had totally righteous minds and bodies and we didn't have a sin nature, we could do that. We could say, okay, they didn't repent. I'm not going to forgive them, because God's not going to forgive anybody that doesn't repent. But God can do it and keep his heart soft toward them. The danger for us is being able to do that and keep our heart soft toward them. So I think it's much better to take the second avenue that Jesus took from the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, and I'll leave it in your hands to deal with it in the long run. That keeps everybody, I think, in the right place. Again, the theological arguments can go both ways. I think both are biblical. I think there's a balance. All I know is this. I am safer by simply forgiving you and letting God deal with it, because that way I'm not going to get weird. And that way I'm not going to grieve the Spirit of God. That way I'm not going to have this righteous hardness in my heart that I deserve to have because they did this and they never repented. No, you know what? They're forgiven. Let it go. God will deal with it on Judgment Day. Right now, I'm going to be about loving God's people, forgiving God's people, and carrying on the gospel. That's what we're called to do. And so it frees us up in every avenue to do that. Well, with that said, let's jump into this passage here. And again, notice in verse 21, we had just seen the Lord saying how to deal with a brother that's in sin, the steps that you're to take in these prior verses. And so it stirs the disciples, even as it stirred all you guys last week, and I got all these questions, probably still stirring some hearts right now, which is, again, healthy and expected. And Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him up to seven times. You know, Peter's trying to figure this out. And again, we talked about last week, I think Peter's trying to be very gracious and maybe hoping the Lord will kind of say, yes, way to go, Peter. Good job, but whatever. Because the rabbi said, you can forgive up to three times, maybe four in special situations, but typically three times. And so Peter goes, I'm going to double it and I'm going to add one. So certainly I'm really going over and above. Lord, is that okay? But the Lord would say to Peter and to us, you're missing the point. It's not about how many times you forgive. It is unlimited. It is the bottomless bowl of chips with that great dip that you get there at Chewy's. It's that bottomless, you know, just keep on going and you get filled up before your meal comes. I'm getting sidetracked. But anyway, don't talk about that at lunchtime, Mark. But anyway, the bottom line is there's no limit to it. It just continues to flow. It just continues to come, even as the blood doesn't have a limit. Does Jesus' forgiveness have a limit? Does his blood have a point? He goes, well, that's it. I've forgiven you up to this point, but, you know, the blood stops right here, right? This is where I draw the line in the sand. His blood is eternal and covers every sin from beginning to end. If anybody will simply come to him and say, I want that covered. That's how his blood works. That's the beauty of the cross. So he's got to get that across to Peter. He's got to get that across to us. Peter thinks he's doing good, but now the Lord's going to blow him out of the water and get it so unreachable that he gets the point. By a couple of examples, first of all, Jesus said, I do not say up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. That is 490 times. If this person comes and just keeps sinning against you 490 times, keep forgiving them. Even if it's the same thing over and over and over, forgive them. Now, first of all, should we forgive someone if they keep doing that? Yes. Is that very hard? Yes. At some point, I would say, forgive them, but get away from them because they're continuing to hurt you, right? So sometimes you can't be around somebody. It doesn't mean you don't forgive them, but if they're going to continue to do it, separate yourself and don't allow that pain to continue. But he's making a point. You're so limited. Your teachers say three. You've been magnanimous to bump it to seven. I'm saying, no, multiply that to times 70. Make it 490. And that's not the point. It's not how many. It's not that you get to 490 and now you can punch the guy. What he's saying is there's no limit. There's no limit. And now the Lord's going to jump into his example that he uses here of no limit of forgiveness, showing how great our God is, how vast his resources, how vast his forgiveness, how great our debt is. By the way, a debt we could never pay, right? And so notice here he says in verse 23, therefore, he's going to paint a picture for him. I love it when the Lord does this. I'm very visual. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Now, I love this because, again, Jesus starts out with the foundational truth that we all need to grasp and deal with pertaining to sin and forgiveness right off the bat. And that is, there will be a day and a time for each of us to stand before the king and settle accounts. The question is, are you ready? We don't know when our day's going to be. And I'm not going to give the scare tactic. You may die today. Well, but you may. I may. You know, I jokingly said that last night, but Lord, don't let me die in the pulpit. That'd be traumatic for everybody, right? But I don't know when I'm going to die. Here's what I do know. When I do, it's like game over, you know, right? No more quarters. Of course, now it's probably no more, what, 50-cent pieces or dollars or whatever. But I'm standing before the Lord. There he is, and there I am. Hello, Lord. Wow. Guys, it could happen today. Think about that. Today. That's exciting in one way, that today we could be standing before the Lord. But it's also terrifying in another way is, where are we in our relationship to God? If we don't know God, it's terrifying because now we have to give account for the fact we never put our faith in his son, and that's our last hope. There's no other chance. You don't get a second chance once you've died. That's it. Once you die, it's now time for judgment. That's how that works. Now, they're broken up in different, you know, times of judgment, but it's done. There's nothing else you can do in this body to change anything. So there's a fearful thing in the sense of being an unbeliever. And by the way, if you don't know the Lord today, I encourage you, get that right with God now. You know, confess your sin. Ask God to forgive you. Believe that he died for you on the cross and receive him. It's not just a religious thing to do. We're talking about your eternity, your forever and ever and ever that never ends. So be ready for that. But what about those of us as believers? We have the same thing. What's going to happen? Boom, suddenly we're there. And then we're going to be standing before the Lord. Now, the believer is going to be judged based on what they did or didn't do with Jesus Christ. And they're going to be eternally condemned because of it. We're going to be judged on the same thing, but not on whether we're condemned. We're saved. We're going to be in the kingdom of God. But we're going to be evaluated as to our faithfulness and whether we serve the Lord and how we walk with God. And there's going to be reward given or lack thereof depending on that. And yet at the same time, it's still going to be a fearful thing to stand before the Lord. So we have to be ready to give an account. And the first challenge I give is, are we ready? Are you ready to give an account to the Lord? Because it could happen at any time. And by the way, it's going to happen at some point. 10 out of 10 of us die. It's just a fact. We're going to die at some point, you know. And so whether it's young, whether it's old, we're all going to die in these bodies, and then we stand before the Lord. So he brings them to settle accounts. Now, again, the picture of what they're seeing is a king who's calling all of his servants in throughout the kingdom, every one of them. Go out and get them, bring them in. They've all got to stand before me, not unlike us standing before God in heaven. And we're going to settle up. It's time to settle up. Okay, we're done. This is it. I'm calling everybody today. Your loan is due today. What you owe me is due today. That's a scary thought. Imagine if all your loans were called today. Everything you owe right now, if you can't pay it today, you're going to prison. Now you get an idea of what's going on here. How many of us would be in prison? Most all of us, right? So the idea is this is a serious thing here that's happening. And notice this, when he had begun to settle the accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, first of all, this shows how immensely wealthy the king was that someone could even owe that kind of money. As we find out in just a moment how much it is. But the fact this man owed this kind of money is also astounding. Now, if you go and you read the commentaries and you do your homework, which I've done, you're going to find like a pretty large array of different opinions of how much money that translates into today. And by the way, even if you were to able to nail down what it translated into today, by last week it would have changed this week because of inflation. But either way, the bottom line is I was looking for something. Okay, what is a constant? What is a constant that I can find that will give an example to the body about what this really means? Here's what it means. One talent, according to one commentarian, if that's a word, one talent equaled 15 years of salary. That means this man owes the king 150,000 years of salary. Okay, pay that off, right? My whole life, you have to live multiple. You could never pay that off. He's painting a picture here, guys, that we need to grasp. This is such a large debt that we owe. There is no way we could pay it off. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you give. I don't care how much you serve. I don't care how nice you are. It makes zero difference. You are condemned and are going to be thrown in prison by the king if you don't have somebody else pay your debt. And the only other person that can pay that debt is Jesus Christ, who died for you and me on the cross. There's no other way. You think about what he did to be able to pay for our sins. Not only did he leave heaven, come down to the earth as a man. Again, we're not going to even understand what that's like until we go to heaven. I think when we see the kingdom and we see his Lord, we're going to go, you got to be kidding me. You left this and you became that. I don't think we can even make an analogy and say it would be like being an insect. I think it's way worse than that. I think it's going to be astounding to us what he really did to become a man. Secondly, he came down to mankind that he created and we mocked him. We abused him. We rejected him. We made fun of him. We nailed him to wood that he created. We put iron through his hands and his feet that he created. People mocked him on the cross with voices he gave them and the air to use for each breath they gave him. He gave the spit that they spit in his face with. He gave them the hands to pull the hair out. He gave all that and he just let them do it and he let them lift him up on the cross. And then there he was on the cross. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, it's not that they didn't know they were guilty. It's not that they didn't understand they were doing wrong, because I believe they did understand. At least the rabbis did. Maybe the Romans didn't. They didn't even know the situation fully. And they're just carrying out orders. But the reality is they knew. No, it's not that they didn't know. He's making a picture. It's that this is such a great debt that I have done. I am giving this debt. There's no way you could ever pay it. You can't do it yourself. And so he gives this whole picture here again of showing them this, you know, laying it out there, 10,000. Everyone there would have gone, this is impossible. There's no way that anybody could ever pay this back. This man couldn't have possibly done it. There's no way. And notice what happens here in verse 25. It says, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold. Now, first of all, this was very normal in that day. They would sell you if you couldn't pay your debt. You know, we look at biblical slavery. It's very different than the stuff we see today. Not that there wasn't some improper slavery back in biblical days. There was. But most of the biblical slavery predominantly was because you owed debt. And when you read about God saying, here's how you're to treat your slave, what God is talking about, here's how you're to treat the person that owes you money they can't pay off, and they've got to work it off. And so God said, nope, I'm not going to let you out of that debt. You go work it off for the family. You become their servant until your debt is paid. And so, however, if you couldn't work it off in your lifetime, then guess what they did? They went for your wife and kids. And notice that's exactly what happens. He said, not only did they come for him that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had. And of course, he would be sad that he lost everything and payment be made. But the hardest thing I have to believe for any man would be to see that because of his sin, his wife and his kids now have to pay that debt. How horrible is that? And yet he's going, they're the ones suffering the consequence for what I've done. And so, you know, again, it reminds me of David when God was judging the nation of Israel because of something David had done. And David said, Lord, I did this. Judge my family. But what have the sheep done? Why are you doing it to them? The problem is when we sin, it affects those around us. We might think it's only us it affects. That's not the case. It affects others around us, especially when it comes to family. And so he's in this horrible place realizing I have caused myself to go into slavery. Now my wife and children, how young were they? They're going to serve from little tiny toddlers all the way up till the day they die. Who could pay back 150,000 years worth of debt? It's impossible.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Do you remember the day you discovered the kingdom of heaven when Jesus first called your name? Just like the disciples who dropped everything to follow him, you were ready right then to give up everything else in your life to be with Jesus. As Pastor Mark goes through Matthew in this series, think back to that first love and let the flame be rekindled. Put yourself into the story and drop your nets to follow the teacher who performs miracles, and then sit at his feet and learn how to love. We're so glad you've decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7. You can find our location at calvaryknoxville.org. And if you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net or just download the Way Media app. Well, we've come to the end of our time together for today, but Pastor Mark has much more to share as we go through the book of Matthew. So make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.